Welcome to football season. NFL, college, the world is back in alignment. Just put the sack on the clock. I am Ray Allen's a shot. I'm going straight to the top. Yo, 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 what's going on, y'all? Mike here, Sports in the Rush podcast. Welcome back to another episode. Appreciate y'all joining me once again. I feel like it's been a long time, y'all. Between episodes, I really hope y'all paid attention and watched the last episode with Matt on mental health. Like I said, man, we're going to talk about sports a lot, but we do need to take a time out to talk about, you know, some important stuff, some real stuff as adults, right? We can't be, you know, teenagers running around here just talking about sports all day like I used to. But I'm happy you guys are here once again, obviously. Don't forget to like, share, leave your comments. Let me know what you think. If you haven't subscribed to the channel, obviously do that as well. YouTube, Spotify, Google, Apple Podcasts, wherever, whatever. But appreciate y'all joining me. So welcome back. And welcome to football season. NFL, college, the world is back in alignment, y'all. After so many months of no football and really no basketball, it's like, damn. And I said this in a previous podcast, right? Kids nowadays have it made, man. Like, they go from football season, basketball season, and then they still, you know, even during basketball season, they talk about NFL draft and trade talk and off-season stuff going on, different camps and this and that. It's like podcasts talking about football. Like, they can really get their fill of football, YouTube highlights, they can get their fill of football throughout the offseason. When we were growing up, we didn't have it like that, yo. Like, once football ended in late January, early February, that was it. You watch basketball, and then that was it. NBA was over, you were outside, you were playing football, playing basketball, baseball, whatever. There was nothing on TV to keep you occupied, unless you were a hardcore baseball fan. You know, I watch baseball. But I wouldn't say I was a hardcore baseball fan, right? So it seemed like football season took forever to come back around. Like, yo, this is ridiculous. But these kids nowadays, just like, I don't know if they feel the offseason being as long as we felt it when we were growing up with hardly anything else on TV. But football's back. I'm excited. I'm sure you are too. So I'm not going to make any picks right now. And I know in the NFL, right, especially it's a sexy thing to make picks before the season because, you know, people want to, you know, show that they know what they're talking about and they're accurate. And it's just a fun thing to do, really. But I kind of feel like doing NFL picks and football picks in general is a waste of time because injuries happen and you always have to caveat what you say with your picks with if everybody stays healthy. And I don't like doing that because nobody ever stays healthy. So it always ends up being, you know, somebody you didn't know was going to be the healthiest at the end of the season, right? The Eagles stayed pretty healthy last year. Their O-line pretty much stayed healthy. Quarterback, running, like, they pretty much had no serious injuries that would have derailed their season. Unfortunately, the Jets were a pick to go to the Super Bowl. They already got an injury with Aaron Rodgers. So they're done. All right? So whoever made Jets picks for Super Bowl, they're out. Nick Chubb is injured last week. He's out. Now, I don't know if anybody was picking the Browns to do much, but if they were, their season's gone. Because he's an important piece of their puzzle. Especially if you picked him in fantasy. You're missing a big piece. And by the way, man, I must say, I don't know about you guys, but as I'm getting older, I'm having a harder and harder time watching these nasty injuries in football, right? Like when the Nick Chubb injury happened and then the broadcast said, you know, we don't want to watch it because it's nasty, it's gruesome, Aikman and Joe Buck. I was like, ooh, I don't want to see that. And it took me a while to actually watch it. Like I didn't see it until I was scrolling on Twitter and somebody posted a still shot of the man's knee just, ooh, his leg just being the wrong way. Like, 90-degree angle. It's not supposed to look like that. Yeah, so I have, as I've gotten older, I still love football, but I have a hard time watching replays of these gruesome injuries. Like, oh, man. And thankfully, they're reporting that, you know, it's not as catastrophic as they thought it was. It's only an MCL. It's easy to say that, right? It's only an MCL. He'll recover 6 to 8 months, be back for next year. I like Nick Chubb, man. He doesn't say much. He just goes out and gets the job done, handles business. One of the best running backs in the league. But injuries always factor in. But still in all, I'm going to make my picks on the next episode, all right? But it's probably, obviously, it's not going to be beginning of the season picks. It's probably going to be like, you know, 4 or 5 weeks in. And that's fine with me. Because by then, I'll have a better idea of who's good. Because right now, I have no idea who's good in the NFL. I'm going to tell y'all straight up. I don't know who the great teams are, who the best teams are. I know my Dolphins look really good on offense. But first week of the season, the Chargers ran all up and down the field. So I don't know when they play a really good defensive team that could slow down the pass game, if the defense will be good enough to slow down another team's rushing attack to keep them in the game. Even the Patriots kind of ran on them. And the Patriots are a mid-team. And by the way, I take no joy, Patriots fans, in beating the Patriots right now. I want to beat people when they're at their best. Like when you're in a gym, when you're in the gym and the teams are so lopsided, you're beating up on the other team, you're like, man, this sucks. Let's switch teams. I kind of want to like, yo, let's switch up with the Patriots. Let's they need some help. Nah, but seriously, and Bill Belichick, man, he's going to have to answer to this at some point. Great coach, but Bill Belichick as a personnel guy is getting in the way of Bill Belichick, the coach guy. With Thomas Brady, you can afford to have some subpar receivers and subpar talent in different places. All right? He could cover up some holes. With Macaroni Jones, I don't know if you can do that, if you can win like that. He's talked about, you know, it's not sustainable in regards to the Rams. He's talked about, well, it's not sustainable, you know, to bring in free agents, you know, with the cap and all this stuff. Listen, man, you're right. There's a cap situation and trading draft picks all the time and, you know, it's going to come back to bite you. But at some point, the Patriots are going to have to spend on actual real talent and pay for some guys. But what can I say, man? They're mid as hell. I don't know if Mac Jones, you can't really tell if Mac Jones is really good or bad. I don't think he's great, but you can't tell if he's good or bad because the talent around him is not good. His receiving core is like guys wouldn't be starting on nobody else's team. And I hate making judgments on quarterbacks in those situations because I felt the same way about my guy Tannehill when the Dolphins would roll out some scrub receivers and people were saying, hey, Tannehill's not that good. Well, I'm like, well, look who he's throwing to. Jalen Hurts wasn't that good until now he got A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. That's usually how it is. Most QBs to be elite need really good receivers around them. So again, I don't know if Macaroni Jones is going to be any good, but I know we can't tell right now with the talent around them. And as a Dolphins fan, I'm not saying I feel bad for the Patriots, all right? The Patsies. I don't feel bad for the Patsies, but I hate beating up on bad teams. But guess what? Thomas Brady beat up on a whole division that was bad at the same time. Bad quarterbacks, bad teams, bad coaches. And Tom Brady and the Patriots ran the division for years, over a decade plus, close to 20 years, because there was nobody else to challenge them. There was no QB to go head-to-head with Thomas to go in a showdown. They knew they were going to have to beat this guy and that guy a couple times a year. They didn't have it. So Patriots fans celebrated. Y'all can have it. Y'all won y'all thing. Me, as a stand-up guy that I am, I can't do it, all right? I love my Dolphins. We're winning. But I can't enjoy beating bad teams, man. And the Bills are good. We think. But Josh Allen is still throwing mad picks. And that takes me to another point, another theme in this season. I don't know who the best teams are. and who the guys who are supposed to be the best quarterbacks are not looking so much like the best. Josh Allen is still throwing terrible picks. Opening night, 3 picks, and they were like, they were just bad picks. What is up with Josh Allen? At some point, I know there's risk-reward. He takes chances. He has a gun for an arm, a cannon. But at some point, dude is going to have to take some responsibility and be like, yo, I can't do that. I can't force it into triple, double, triple teams all the time. So Josh ain't looking great. Mahomes looked bad without Kelsey. He still didn't look amazing, and I got this guy in fantasy. He still didn't look amazing the second week against Jacksonville. By the way, this Mahomes without Kelsey thing is bugging me because people were trying to make excuses like, well, he doesn't have Kelsey, that's why he looked bad. Duh, every quarterback, again, looks bad when they don't have great weapons. I've been saying that as long, like, I feel like the very first episode of this podcast talked about the fact that every quarterback needs great receivers to look good. But people try to make Mahomes seem like he's God. He can play with me and you out there in a high school team and he would look great. Wrong. Joe Burrow doesn't look that great. Signed a mega deal and he doesn't look amazing at all. What is going on? Now he has a calf injury. Who knows how much that's bothering him, right? But he doesn't look great. Justin Herbert puts up a little bit of numbers, but he can't win. Boy, I don't know what to say about that situation, to be honest. Justin, great quarterback, great talent. But at some point, how much does he get the blame for not winning or his coaches? Because he has the weapons, right? You could say Macaroni Jones doesn't have the weapons. Justin has weapons at his disposal. Keenan gets open. Mike Williams catches almost everything thrown his way. He has Austin Eckler. But for whatever reason, they can't win. I want to see more out of that situation. Maybe they need another coaching change. Or maybe Justin just needs to figure it out. I don't know. I don't watch them as closely enough to make a decision either way. But it's just weird that Tennessee Titans beat them the other day. They had a chance to win the game at the end and didn't. Deshaun Watson looks like an absolute garbo. Just looks like a scrub. No joke. And I don't know if the allegations are playing in his head as he's playing, but he looks scrubby, y'all. Like, that guaranteed contract looks awful. Ooh. I mean, I don't know what to say. I don't know what else to say. Like, the guy was so talented, right? And I always thought Deshaun Watson was, you know, he relied a little bit on his athleticism, you know, kind of like how Russ did to run around and get open. He wasn't a pocket passer. And I don't know if they're trying to turn him into a pocket passer, strictly a pocket passer. But in Houston, he looked more comfortable, you know, scrambling outside the pocket, doing his thing, athleticism type of thing. But now he just looks bad, terrible. And I don't know what to say, Cleveland. Maybe it's just Cleveland, just quarterbacks just can't be good in Cleveland. He has to leave Cleveland, but that guaranteed contract must be nice. I don't know. Maybe the allegations are playing in his head. I don't know, but he looks like straight garbage, man. And Justin Fields is struggling. Still, can't see the field. Recent, you know, press conference, he's talking about, oh, you know, maybe it's too much coaching and he's in his head, you know, too much going. He's not out there playing off instinct, too much stuff going on in his mind. It's possible. So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, give the young guy a chance to prove himself. But man, he looks bad. He's missing wide, wide open stuff. I don't think I've ever seen that on an NFL field from a starter. Just a guy just not seeing anybody. And you have two guys running wide open from the video they showed on TV. Oof. So quarterbacks aren't playing great. I don't know who the best teams are yet. So I'm going to reserve my picks for winner, division winners, playoffs, Super Bowl, all that for next episode, y'all. I'm sorry. I have to see a little bit more. And I'll fill y'all in when I get it. But on the bright side, Baker Mayfield and the Bucs look good. And last year, the Bucs looked terrible with Tom Brady. I'm not going to say anything. Tom Brady is the GOAT, guys. I'm not going to say anything. But Baker Mayfield right now is making the Bucs look better than Thomas Brady did last year. Essentially the same team. I ain't going to say nothing for the Brady fans. But Baker Mayfield is making that team look better than Brady did last year. I ain't going to say nothing. So that's really where I am with the NFL. I don't know who's good, who's bad, man. It's just all right now. Everybody's in the middle. There's some terrible teams. The Cardinals are obviously tanking. The Giants, I think, are overrated. They were overrated. I think Daniel Jones sucks, right? And y'all know me. I stick up for so-called mid-quarterbacks, the Tannehills and the Derek Carrs, right? I stick up for these guys. But Daniel Jones ain't even mid. He sucks. And the fact that he got a fatter contract than Saquon bothers me. Bothers the hell out of me. I don't think he's good at all. And people were picking the Giants, thinking Daniel Jones is going to do this and that. And they got smoked, blown out by the Cowboys first game. Second game, barely beat the Cardinals. Third game, couldn't do nothing against the 49ers. Yeah. I think Daniel Jones sucks. The Giants were overrated. Unfortunately for Saquon, he can't get his money because he keeps getting hurt. Like, that's just terrible, man. Bad investment in Daniel Jones for Giants fans. I'm sorry. Cowboys look good. Cowboys defense looks amazing. 49ers look good. Those are probably the best two teams right now, actually, now that I think about it. Cowboys, 49ers, because their defenses look legit. Micah Parsons can't be blocked. My goodness. Ooh. If your O-line ain't good, don't play the Cowboys because they will expose the hell out of them. All right? The offense is good, but the defense is, wow. Wowzers. And the 49ers are still the 49ers. They're balling. So we'll see, man. Catch next episode. I'll see what I find out over the next week or two about who's who in the NFL and make some predictions. College. Whew. Well, my nose are back, I think. We're squeaking by right now. Last couple of weeks with some wins. But, man, it's good being 4-0 and the football season being still alive. Because last few years, you know, we've lost early on. And it's like, well, goodbye national championship. The Noles are back. No, we're not. We weren't back. I think the Noles are back. Shout out to Coach Mike Norvell for doing this thing and bringing us back to relevance and to prominence. I mean, transfer portal's done amazing for that team. He built that thing back up quick. Alabama is struggling. And I know they've won, but they don't look like Alabama of old. And I'm going to say this, man, as a Florida State fan, and I attended Florida State, and when I first got – Florida State was a pipeline for NFL talent when I got to Florida State in 1999. Like, when I got there, Peter Warwick was there. Anquan was there as a freshman. We had Snoop Mitt. We had all these guys who were, like, guaranteed, and on defense was just loaded. Guys, you could – like, these guys were guaranteed to go NFL first round when I got there. And then slowly, over my years at Florida State, Bobby Bowden got older. And you could see we were still getting good players, but the talent just wasn't top notch. So by the time I left Tallahassee, the program wasn't that great. It wasn't good at all. We were losing 4, 5, 6 games in a year until Jimbo came around with Jameis and them for a couple years. And then again, you could see the talent slowly declined again in terms of NFL talent. Still getting some 3, 4, even 5 stars, but they weren't like all consolidated at Florida State. Like, you knew these guys were going to be nasty. They were going to dominate. They were going to go pro. And I'm sensing the same thing at Alabama. I know I got Alabama fans watching this episode. Y'all got to keep me honest. Like, I know the quarterback position is a little bit, you know, suspect right now, but typically Alabama, even when their quarterback position is not great, their defense is so nasty. Their line dominates so much. Their linebackers are so fast and defensive backs are so good. Even when their quarterbacks aren't great, their defense is suffocating to where it looks like they're dominating either way. And I don't know if Alabama still has that top shelf talent over everybody else. Maybe it's a transfer portal thing. I don't know. But I'm not used to seeing this kind of Alabama, man. Again, quarterbacks in a little bit of a situation, kind of dicey. You don't know who's who from week to week. But Alabama of old, and maybe because of the rules now, like you got to have a top-notch guy playing quarterback. But because of the rules now, maybe. But still, man, I don't feel like, as I'm watching Alabama, I don't feel like these guys are like who they're supposed to be. Alabama, roll tide and roll your ass over. Dominate. I don't know. SEC. I don't know. But Alabama's struggling. They feel like I said, they feel like the way I felt, you know, watching FSU when I was there, going from every year dominant talent NFL guys to, yeah, we still got some five stars, but we're not what we used to be. UGA is struggling too, right? They need a quarterback. Apparently, they got a young quarterback. I'm just saying, things to watch. But college football is back. I'm loving the season. My nose are back, most importantly. And I can, you know, watch football every week with the hopes of, hey, we're still in here. We're still in it, y'all. We beat Clemson this weekend. Oh, yeah, we're still in it. Schedule doesn't look that scary. As long as the boys keep their heads on straight, the nose could sweep this thing, make it to the championship, college football championship. We'll see. But even in college, I don't know who's truly dominant either. Right? There's some really good teams, but I don't know if there's anybody who's like, this team, y'all ain't touching them. There isn't. And maybe that's a good thing. Right? Because for several years, right, when Alabama was dominating, you're like, ain't nobody beating these cats, man. Ain't nobody beating Bama. These cats are loaded. They got everybody. They got five stars backing up five stars. They got five-star red shirts. Saban was hoarding talent. He can't do that no more. And maybe that's why there's nobody who truly stands out as being top of the top, top shelf. But shout out to my nose. Right now we're number 4 in the rankings. I'll take it. We'll keep working out. But the biggest story in college football, and I want to spend the rest of my time on this stuff, is the Colorado Buffaloes and Deion Sanders. And listen, man, sports is entertainment, right? Sports entertainment. And really the point of, especially the media, right, when they cover sports, is to make you choose a side, right? Your team has to be good enough to make you choose a side. So great that you either love them or you hate them. You can't just be good. You got to be so great that we love you or hate you. Except for the Cowboys, because of the branding, right? You're going to love or hate the Cowboys even when they're not good. But the Patriots, you love them or hate them. That's how it's going to be. All right? You love them or hate them. And I hated them, especially the way in our division. But a lot of people just hate the Patriots because of the coverage they got. Thomas Brady, good looking, the wife. Like, oversaturation, bro. So a lot of people hated the Patriots. Patriots fans love them because they won. But a lot of people hated Patriots for no reason other than the media coverage. Right? And sports industry, the media has to create that environment to keep you intrigued, to keep you watching. You don't want to just watch a good team. You want to watch a great team and essentially make an emotional decision about them. You either love them or hate them. WWE style. Right? Even sports journalists or people who are supposed to be journalists right now are turning into these kind of figures where, you know, you either love or hate Hulk Hogan. Right? They got to have a storyline behind it. Stephen A. Smith, I already talked about that previous episodes, right? That's how it is now. So you got to love or hate to watch now, and to get people's attention with so much stimulation around them, you got to make people choose a good and a bad. This guy is great, but I'm going to hate on him because you're going to cover him so much. Remember, y'all remember Tim Tebow, the way he got covered on ESPN? Every day First Take was talking about Tim Tebow, even though he sucked ass. He was terrible. Every day Tim Tebow was on TV, man, he was a topic. Whether or not he can't throw, he could run, he's tough, his religion, his taking a knee on the field. Every day, Tim Tebow was a talk of the town. And people chose sides. You were a Christian. You loved that he was praying all the time. And, you know, you were a UF fan. You loved Tim Tebow. And if you weren't, you were like, damn it, man, the guy sucks, but he's on TV every day. Patrick Mahomes is coming into that fourth. Patrick Mahomes is supposed to be a guy who everybody loves, right? Nice family, beautiful family, great quarterback. You know what I'm saying? He's not out there, you know, being bragging and doing all this crazy stuff. He just plays football, and he talks trash on the field when you hear the sound bites and stuff. But Patrick Mahomes should be a guy that everybody universally likes. But a lot of people take the opposite side of Patrick Mahomes because the media oversaturates us with the love for him and the praise. They act like he invented football. He invented the no-look pass and the sidearm pass and the jump pass. They act like Patrick Mahomes invented the forward pass. And as a result, people are like, damn it, man. And it's jealousy a lot of times. But as a result, people are like, damn it, man. Like, I'm trying to watch football, but you're shoving Patrick Mahomes down my throat. I know he's great, but give me a chance. So people hate on this guy because of the media. Like, you're watching Patrick Mahomes the first game of the season. They lose without Travis Kelce. And then Mike Tirico comes out talking about, well, this game has an asterisk next to it. What the hell? Like, everybody plays without their best stars sometimes. And sometimes they win, sometimes they lose. And nobody has ever gotten an excuse that says, hey, my best player is out, so I'm going to give you an asterisk. Never happens. I've never heard it in the history of football that a quarterback has had an excuse made for him because his best receiver was out, his best weapon. I'm going to say this again. Y'all know I'm a Tannehill fan. Tannehill played with the Titans games on games on games with no Derrick Henry, games without no A.J. Brown. Like, you don't know who the hell his receivers are. I remember watching the Tennessee Titans one game against the Houston Texans, and he's playing with some guys just called up from the practice squad, is doing a rainstorm, and during one of the plays, Tannehill is like, the receiver name was, what's his name, Dez. He was like, Dez, you got it? Meaning like, Dez, did you get that play call? Do you know the play? In the middle, at the line of scrimmage, Ryan Tannehill is asking the guy, hey, do you know the play? And he ends up throwing a pick on that play, throwing to that receiver. He probably shouldn't have thrown to this guy because he clearly didn't know the play. But there's nobody there to say, hey, he's playing with some bums. But the media is sitting there making excuses for Pat. And as a result, people are taking sides. If you're a Chiefs fan, you love him. If you're not, you hate the media coverage because they're acting like he's the first to do all this stuff. He's great. He's the best in the league. But please stop kissing the man's behind. And that creates narratives and that creates haters. But Pat should be universally loved because he's a great player, great guy. He's out there showboating. It seems like he's showboating, but he's just a great talent. And he talks some trash, but everybody talks trash. Media creates that. They create that divide. Caleb Williams of USC Trojans, if you don't follow much college football, is going to fall into that same trap. Baker Mayfield fell into that same trap. Johnny Football fell into that same trap where the coverage was so much that dudes just picked a side like, yo, this guy's good, but I'm not going to like him because ESPN talks too about this guy too much. I can't turn on my TV without somebody talking about this guy. And that's where Colorado lives right now. The media is making people choose a side. Yeah, there's some people in the middle, but those are few and far between. You're either going to love them or you're going to hate them. And that's great TV. That's what they want. That's theater. It's cinema, right? And they set these guys up for slander, right? And they get to get hate on social media because social media is the only way people can lash out at these guys. I'm hoping that these guys see their DMs, right? Your DMs to them. Because the media has turned them into gods. And you're like, yo, man. So Deion gets hate all the time on top of the fact that he's Deion Sanders. Right? But the media is making you choose, you know, to not like Deion because they're blasting him all over. So you're going to love him or hate him. You're going to love or hate Colorado. Now, I'm not naive, right? I can't just sit here and blame the media for everything. I'm not naive. Yeah, there's some racism to it. If we're going to be honest, I try to be honest on the show. I try to be balanced. There's some stuff that has to do with the color of his skin, all right? Let's just be real with each other. There are some folks who don't like Deion in the Colorado Buffaloes because, first of all, he's a black guy. A lot of people, as proven by the hiring practices in the SEC and other conferences, there's a lot of people who don't like Deion in a Buffalo because Deion's a black guy. Let's just be honest with each other, all right? That's just a fact. Let's be honest. There are people who don't like Deion because he's a black guy. They don't believe black guys should coach, preconceived notions, whatever, right? Look at the hiring practices of conferences, right, in college football. That should tell you all you need to know. Boosters, right, don't want black coaches for whatever reason. All right? There are some who don't like Deion because of his personality. They think he has a big ego. He's too loud, right? He's pompous. He's, you know, they don't like that. He's not humble. He's not a fake humble guy. He tells you how he feels. He tells you he's great. He shows out and shows you he's great. And some white folks don't like that. And truthfully, some black guys don't either. Some black people don't either. Some black coaches probably feel threatened by this dude. They don't like Deion taking up the spotlight. Hey, man, we liked our jobs. We like to be the only black folks on the block. But we got this new kid here, Deion. He's taking up all the shine, and he's about to take up all the players. There's only so many players that want to come to a black coach, apparently, they think. So, yeah, so there's some folks who don't like Deion just because he's black. So there's some folks who don't like him. He's a black guy who's loud, and loud black guys aren't loved, right? That's just the way it is. Let's be honest. He's loud, he's black, and he balls out. His team's balls out. And that creates haters. They don't like the ego. It's too damn loud. So whites and blacks don't like that. Some black folks, if we're being honest, don't like him because of the way he left Jackson State. He promised to do this and that. God appointed me to do this. They wanted him to be the savior of Jackson State and HBCUs. Listen, man. I don't know how naive you got to be to believe head coaches nowadays. I know people say, well, he used God and, you know, he should have used God. Whatever. Deion Sanders is like everybody else, except that he's primetime. And his personality, his words, right? He says stuff, right? That makes you think he's different. But he's human. I remember specifically Nick Saban saying, when he was coaching the Dolphins, Nick Saban saying, nah, I'm not leaving Miami. I've had no conversations, you know, with Alabama, blah, blah, blah. And then next thing you know, he's gone to Alabama. He gone. That's just how it is, man. It's business. These guys do what's best for them and their family, and I can't hate on it, right? And sometimes they look like, you know, they're big fat liars. Yeah, because we all would lie in those situations. When we're sitting in an interview, we lie. When they asked us, where do you see yourself in 5 years? We don't say, all right, I see myself at the other company who's going to offer me more money in 5 years. We say, well, I see myself in a managerial position, you know, leading a team, having a great career here. I want to be the CEO. We're lying. Because as soon as the next opportunity comes, we out of there. Same thing with Deion. And I'm not mad at him for doing what's best for him and his family. So as a black person, right, I can't hate on that. And I don't know what went on behind the scenes. Who knows, right? Supposedly there was some stuff going on there and whatever. But black folks are mad at Deion because of the way he left Jackson State. They thought he was going to be the savior of HBCUs, you know, to bring more spotlight to the talent there, so on and so forth. And I can somewhat understand that. But at the end of the day, these coaches are going to do what's best for them and their family. They're not going to turn down opportunities, for the most part, to be the savior of HBCUs and black folks. It's just not going to happen. Like I said, man, Nick Saban just, and other coaches do it all the time to these teams, right? Yeah, I haven't had any talks. Next thing you know, the next day they sign a fat contract. That's just how it is. So a lot of folks, white folks, don't like him, right? Some people, because they don't like a black head coach. Some don't like him, black and white. They don't like him because he's loud. He has an ego, right? He looks to have a big ego. He doesn't back down from media coverage, right? He wants all the media coverage for him and his family and his team, right? Some black folks don't like him because of the way the Jackson State thing went down. It is what it is. But at the end of the day, in my opinion, the media creates a lot of haters. The media creates new haters. I'll call them new haters, right? There's existing haters in a Deion situation, white folks, black folks, whatever it may be. But the media creates a whole new set of haters, man, because of the coverage. Nobody wants to sit there and watch the Colorado Buffaloes get all this coverage when really, if we're being honest, they're not a great team, all right? They're covered like a great team, right? We accepted the coverage, although we didn't like it, we accepted the coverage of Thomas Brady and the Patriots, right? Because they were great. We accept the coverage of LeBron and the Heatles and LeBron and wherever he went, Cavs, Lakers, because he is great. We know that that's the expectation when you're great. You're going to get a lot of coverage. And people are like, Deion and them is getting a lot of coverage at Buffalo when they're really not that great. Yeah, they're 3-0. They went from a 1-1 team. Right now, they have 3 wins for the season, but they're really not that great. They barely won the last couple of games, right, against Colorado State. They shouldn't have beaten Colorado State, to be honest, and Colorado State sucks. So this team that's not that good, we're treating them like a top 10 team with this media coverage, and that drove people insane. And you saw it on Twitter after they lost to Oregon. People couldn't wait to get the jokes off. The media created those haters, man. These people otherwise would not give a damn about Colorado and Prime. In fact, they probably like Prime and his personality. But you drove them to the opposite end because you covered that team so much. And I know that's how money is made. Ads are sold, this and that. But that kind of media coverage is going to bring up all types of new haters, man. And you just got to deal with it. It's nothing personal. I guess some people do take it personally and they start saying stuff out of pocket. But that's social media. People are going to say stuff out of pocket. But it's really just a whole lot of people that the media creates these new haters because they talk about Colorado and Deion so much. I can't take it, right? These people can't take it. So when Colorado goes into play, before the game against Oregon, and you have people picking Colorado to win, and those of us who watch football and know football knew damn well that Colorado had no chance against Oregon, not even a little bit. They're missing dudes. But you had these people on TV picking Colorado to win. How? Were they going to win that game? They were never going to upset Oregon. Only people who picked Colorado to win were alum and people who just want to show that, you know, they're fans of Deion, right? They don't want to turn their backs on Deion, right? They're on the bandwagon. So they're going to kiss up to Deion and pick the Buffaloes. They had no chance. They're weak on both lines, and they just don't have the talent. Shadur is nice, and Travis Hunter is great, but he was out, and Travis Hunter wasn't going to make a difference that game. He can't block on the line. He can't play defense. Oregon is a legit top 10 team. With Bo Nix, who seemed like he's been in college for 10 years, but it's only been 4 years. That's amazing. They were never going to win. The talent gap is too huge. And Deion knows that. But he's not going to say that. He's going to motivate his team, which every coach should. But now other coaches are going to use that against him, right? Whatever he says, other coaches are using that in their pregame speeches, right? It's like, well, they're playing for clicks. So are you. You're saying that, coach, right? The Oregon coach. You're saying what you're saying for clicks too. Don't front, right? Oregon wants the social media coverage. Everybody does. It's jealousy. But again, the media drives that. The media makes it so that dudes essentially hate Colorado for no other reason than the fact that they're just getting all the coverage. But I'm going to tell you, man, I'm going to tell you. Get these dudes now, right? Get Colorado now, because it ain't going to be long before they become a dynasty. I'm predicting this. It ain't going to be long before Deion turned these boys, and he's already started it, into the team that everyone wants to go to. All right? Nick Saban went 7-6 his first year. I don't know what Colorado's record is going to be this year, what they're going to end with. But even now, they're way better than they were last year. Nick Saban went 7-6 his first year. Next year, regular season goes 12-0. UGA went 8-5 in Kirby Smart's first year. The next year, 13-2. I'm not predicting what next year is going to look like for Colorado, but I think they're going to build a freaking dynasty. They're going to build a dynasty, so get your jokes off now. Hate now while they're bad and they lose and they get blown out, because in a few years, you're going to be hating on a great team, and that's not as fun. Because when you're hating and they're still winning, that's not as fun, right? It's great to hate when you know, hey, this team's not that good. They're going to lose to Oregon. But, yo, I'm telling y'all, they're going to build a dynasty. And here's why I think they're going to build a dynasty, y'all. Stay with me. First off, this transfer portal thing, I already said it. You could pick up dudes so fast and turn around a program so fast, like I talked about with Florida State. My goodness. Transfer portal. Get all the kids you want. You don't have to guess on a high school kid if they're going to be good or bad. Like, you already know this guy's been a dog at, you know, wherever. Let me bring him in. He doesn't like where he's at. Let me bring him here. Two, Deion is a salesman. He has the gift of gab. He's the best at that I've ever seen on a public eye. He tells you what you want to hear, and kids buy it. Parents are going to buy it. He talks the way kids want to understand nowadays, too, right? He talks about their dogs, right? They're not captains, they're dogs. They go hunting. Like he just has the gift of gab. Three, people want to play for Deion because he's Deion. He's the best cornerback to ever play, the best defensive back to ever play in the NFL. Who wouldn't want to play for him? Who wouldn't want to play for Deion Sanders, man? Hey, I'm in the Hall of Fame, top of the top. I didn't barely get into the Hall of Fame. I am top of the top. GOAT. Hall of Famer. And if you come play for me, I can help you get there, brother. Nobody else has that sales pitch right now. Nick Saban can't say that with all his recruiting greatness. Nobody else can say, hey, I can make you like that. That's Deion's pitch. Four, everything he touches is gold, man. So I can't doubt him. He's great at everything. Whatever you want. Deion is just one of those guys who are just great at everything. So I think he has a great chance of turning this program into a dynasty. Five. I just think kids want that. And I talked about this, right? Kids want to be themselves. They want to be genuine. They don't want to have to fake it. They don't want to have to code switch. For those who don't know what code switching is what a lot of black folks do. They have to do in the workplace. They have to act differently. They have to talk differently because the way they naturally talk as black folks is going to get, you know, misconstrued, get made fun of, you know, used against them, yada, yada, yada. So they have to act differently in the workplace, in corporate America or wherever, versus how they act at home, how they speak at home. Their language changes. Slang, whatever you want to call it, they can't do that at work. You know what I'm saying? But with Deion, you don't have to code switch your personality the way you talk. You can be yourself. Deion encourages these dudes to be themselves. Right? So they could be themselves all the time. They could be dogs all the time. As long as you stay within the borders that he set, you could be yourself. Right? With his pregame speeches. Right? People, you know, coaches saying, you know, people predicting against them. And, you know, he has no problem with bulletin board material. Either receiving it or dishing it out. When they go low, he goes lower. Unlike Michelle Obama, who's like, when they go low, we go high. Nah, when you go low, he goes lower. Deion goes lower. He takes you to the gutter. He uses you as motivation. And he makes no qualms about it. And here's what I think, right? For those of y'all who remember the old school Miami Hurricanes, like 80s, late 80s, 90s, 80s, 90s Hurricanes, early 90s. Deion is turning Colorado into Miami. I don't know if y'all noticed that. Like, Miami was the place to be. They were on TV. Their players were just, not only were they five stars, but they were a show. Right? Dancing on the sidelines, celebrities on the sidelines. Like, Miami was like a, UM was like a party, man. Jimmy Johnson, you know, Dennis Erickson. Like, they allowed these dudes to be themselves. If you watch the 30 for 30 on the Hurricanes back in the day, like, these guys were, you know, they hit you, they celebrated, like, they acted, they knew they were like that, they played like they were like that, and they acted like they were like that. And Deion is turning Colorado into that same mold. And Deion went to Florida State, right? Deion went to Florida State, but he is clearly taking a page out of the Miami Hurricanes playbook in that sense. And really, even as a Florida State fan, Deion always fitted more of that UM lifestyle back in those days with the, being so flashy, right? That was more him. If we're being honest, Deion was more UM than he was FSU, because FSU was, we were great. We had the talent, but we were more buttoned up. Bobby Bowden wasn't having all that stuff, man. He was buttoned up, you know. Dudes were great, but they weren't celebrating and they weren't having the fun like it seemed like the Hurricanes were having. Go back and watch that 30 for 30. And Deion was more Hurricane in his personality than he was FSU. And he's turning Colorado, Boulder, into Miami. And you may be like, well, Boulder's not Miami. Coral Gables ain't Miami either, if you're being honest, at least in terms of demographics. The world's apart in terms of demographics. Like, where these boys who went to UM grew up at, it wasn't nothing like Coral Gables. And if Nick Saban can get dudes, five stars, to Tuscaloosa, Deion's going to be getting some dudes up to Boulder and allowing them to be themselves. And, oh, yeah, they're going to be freestyle. They're going to be doing their thing. They're going to be the talk of the town. You ain't going to like that. I'm telling you, man, people ain't going to like that when they start winning. And Deion is more disciplined, I feel like, than the Hurricanes, you know, were back then, right? Hurricanes were, you know, Catholics versus convicts, those things, right? Deion, you know, as much as, you know, he's loud and, you know, he's flashy and this and that, he still has his head on straight. He knows how to coach. He knows how to motivate. And he brings in great assistants to help him. I'm telling y'all, man, this guy's going to build a dynasty if he chooses to stay in Boulder. So get your hate up now. Get your jokes off now. Because when it's all said and done, it's going to be like that. He's turning that place into Miami, UM, where the college players, the UM players, had more clout in the clubs than the Dolphins players. And that's going to be his advantage over Bama, over UGA, all these teams, right? Like, Saban could still get the guys, but the guys, they want to be the guys, and they want to show that they're the guys. They want to let the world know that they're the guys. They want a party. They want to be with the stars. They want Offset at the game and The Rock and all these celebrities. They love that stuff. Kids love that stuff. And that's what Deion's creating. Kids love that environment, man. Yeah, we're good. Right? There are some celebrities that go to Bama games. Mostly alumni. But Deion just has random celebrities walking the sidelines in Colorado. And it feels like Hurricane games back in the day, man. It just felt like a party down in Miami. The team was great. They celebrated after every big hit. It was just a different atmosphere, bro. So, yeah, Deion might create a dynasty just like those Hurricanes team had a dynasty back in those days, man. Again, he was a Seminole, but I felt like from a personality standpoint, Deion was more Hurricane than Seminole. But yeah, he's going to build a dynasty, y'all. Y'all sit and watch. So all the hate, get the jokes off now on Twitter. Because they're going to be amazing. They're going to be amazing. So that's all I want to talk about, y'all. Like I said, football's back. I'm happy. But I want to touch on this Deion situation because the media creates a lot of this stuff, man. And we're all part of it. You got to choose sides. In politics, you got to choose sides. You either love it or hate it. And a lot of people who previously had no business, no care in the world for Colorado or Dion, they hate it now because you're boosting up a team that was really irrelevant last year, absolutely irrelevant, and really not so great, right, this year. They're better. They got some talent, but they're really not that good. But we talk about them like they're a top 10 team. And people are like, nah, man, I've had enough. I'm going to check out, so I'm going to hate on these guys. But get your jokes off now, for sure. Everybody hates Dion. Everybody hates Colorado. But I'm going to catch you guys next time, man. Appreciate y'all. This was a fun episode. And I was thinking about it. I was like, man, some people hate this guy for his color. They hate him because he's loud. But a lot of people just hate him just because of the media coverage. Appreciate you guys next time. I'll catch you guys next time. Appreciate y'all watching. Again, don't forget to subscribe, like, if you haven't already. Mike, Sports of the Bush podcast. Y'all be good. Peace. I'm going straight to the top. Just put the sack on the clock. I am Ray Allen's a shot. I'm going straight to the top.